Jesus walked the road to Calvary, paid the sinner's debt. The disciples' hearts were broken. Jesus' mother wept on that dark and dreary day. God the Father turned away. See the hope of all the ages, silent in the grave. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The sky is dark, but soon another day's on. And it's not over yet. King Jesus will be there. Oh yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Every day the wicked prosper, good men suffer pain. Satan seems to gain the victory, mocking Jesus' name. Many Christians suffer so, and their tears of sorrow flow. Is the God of all the ages still on heaven's throne?
Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And the sky is dark, but soon another day is on. It's not over yet. King Jesus will prevail. Oh yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming.
When you come to death's dark valley, feeling pain and loss, just remember Christ your Savior on his rugged cross. Though he died in darkest gloom, Jesus left an empty tomb. Alleluia, alleluia, Christ is coming soon. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The sky is dark, but soon another day is on. It is not over yet. King Jesus will prevail. Oh yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The sky is dark, but soon another day is dawning. It's not over yet. King Jesus will prevail. Oh yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The sky is dark, but soon another day is dawning. It's not over yet. King Jesus will.
I was clothed in the rags of my sin. I was wretched and poor, lost and lonely within. But with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and in love, took me under his wing. Oh yes, oh yes, well I'm a child of the King, and his royal blood is now flowing in my veins. And I, who was so wretched and poor, I now can sing, oh praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Well now I am a child, oh, with a heavenly home, and my holy Father has made me his own, and I'm cleansed by his blood, and I'm clothed in his precious love, and someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King, and his royal blood is now flowing in my veins. And I, who was so wretched and poor, I now can sing, oh praise God, I'm a child of the King. And I, who was so wretched and poor, I now can sing.
OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota, coming to you live here. It is 2:10 p.m. Central Time, and it is Friday, right? And we are live here, and we're going to talk about some more crazy things going on in this crazy world that we live in, and that the Bible has already predicted and told us exactly how it was going to go down. And what it was going to happen, and all of those good things. And maybe it's making me hungry for French fries. I'm already hungry for those. So, I think tomorrow when we go preaching, we're probably going to have to stop off at Red Robin on the way home. That's what's going to have to happen. I'm sure of it. So, anyway. Because we're having tacos tonight. Shrimp, beef, chorizo, I don't know, whatever. So, I don't have any playlists. I just have folders and folders of songs. So, I use them. That's what happens. And I'm going to buy some more. Some of these I didn't even buy. They were given to me. I'm sorry that you had to have Carolina barbecue. Because the best barbecue in the country is Kansas City barbecue, which, Lord willing, I'm going to have next week. And maybe, just maybe, I'm going to have to, like, take some pictures and send it all. I'll take some pictures. But Carolina barbecue stinks. It's about as bad as Tennessee barbecue. What a bunch of stinking slop that is. Oh, yuck. Or how about Texas barbecue, which is nothing but vinegar? Texas barbecue, what is it? It's tomato and vinegar. There you go, there's your vinegar. Let me give you a bucket of vinegar. Thanks. No thanks. Anyway, yes, I'm opinionated. I most certainly am. Although, if I remember right, Carolina barbecue was a lot better than Tennessee barbecue. Man, I went to this barbecue place in Tennessee, and it was like Barf City, man. Oh my goodness. I was in Tennessee, and this place was supposed to be a great place. Right, Texas barbecue, dry rub, I agree. Brisket. Excellent. I get it. I agree. I believe you, Andrea. I believe you that Georgia barbecue is probably good. I can't remember if I've had it. I probably haven't, but I bet you I'd like it. Yeah, I'm not big on... But I like Kansas City barbecue the best. I just do. But it just... But that's closer to where I'm from, too, because the Illinois-Iowa border there, the barbecue sauce is more like that. They don't really have their own special barbecue. Like, anyway. But, yeah, I'm not a Muslim. I eat pork. I'm a white dude from the Midwest, all right? I'm a white dude from the Midwest. I grew up eating fried everything. Especially. Oh, the other day. I think it was Hannah made it. Some fried pork steak. Oh my goodness. Breaded and fried pork steak. Oh my goodness. That was so good. Oh. Yeah, I know, but I'm a white dude from the Midwest. I didn't have no Islam upbringing. But let me be clear here. I would still eat Carolina barbecue, though. So you know. Mandy made that pork steak. Man, was that good. It was good. Oh. And Grandma can fry chicken good. Mandy makes this. We found this recipe online. For this spicy fried chicken. Oh, man, is it good. She made these big spicy fried chicken. Oh. Man, was it good. It was really good, man. The spicy fried chicken. Oh, the breading on it was really good. Oh, it was good. I would try that smoked lamb lollipops. I don't know what that is, but I'd try it. Anyway, she made that good. That's right. Wait. Wait, Joe just triggered me. What happened?
I sure am ready for a home-cooked meal.
What are we having, Mr. O'Connor?
Dad said you always serve the same thing.
Oh, you're right, Patrick, me boy. We'll be having my specialty.
There's a vegetable that we all hold dear. We eat it every day of every year. With a texture fair and an odor rare. A taste so delicate beyond compare.
People like them hot, People like them cold. Some even like them when they're 6 weeks old. Cook them in a pot, serve them in a bowl. Bake them in the oven in a casserole. Casserole! If they're baked or boiled, then they're wrapped in foil. Sliced in slivers and they're fried in oil. In this world we know, it is good to know, there's nothing better than an Irish potato.
Potato chip goes with onion dip. It's yummy with a burger or a chicken strip. Throw away the rice, feed it to the mice. Give me mashed potatoes, oh, they're really nice.
Try a tater tot when it's nice and hot. Dip it in some ketchup or whatever you've got. Everybody buys crispy curly fries. If you're really hungry, make it super size. Super size.
Eat 'em when you're young, eat 'em when you're grown.
Eat 'em in a crowd or eat 'em all alone.
In this world below, it is good to know there's nothing better than an Irish potato. Irish potato. Irish potato. There is nothing better than an Irish potato. There is nothing better than an Irish potato. There is nothing better than an Irish potato. Potato, 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 potato. Nothing better than an Irish potato.
Well, there you go. This was Joe's idea. It was Joe's fault. He triggered me with potatoes. I was talking about pork and barbecue, and Joe, he triggered me with potatoes. And I just thought of him right away. My Irish potato friend, Joe. Anyway, I hope you've had a good week so far. We'll be preaching tomorrow. So you pray for us tomorrow as we get out there and preach in the open air. There's going to be, I think it's hockey games and basketball games and all this stuff going on with the Gophers downtown there and in Minneapolis. So we'll be preaching down there. You pray for us. We'll be live, Lord willing. We'll be streaming live from there. And then that'll be good. So you pray for us that you tune in live. It'll be 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. It'll be about 4 p.m. Central Time. So for Carlos Montoya, Rodriguez, Espinoza, that's going to be like 11 o'clock Carlos time. 11 p.m. It'll be a Saturday night main event. Don't miss it! The Saturday night main event! But we'll be downtown there preaching outside of to a bunch of Coliseum-loving football or baseball, basketball, whatever kind of hockey fans they are. Whatever they are, it doesn't matter. It's all the same anyway. But we'll be down there. So, anyway, you join us live and we'll be on Rumble and live. We might be live on YouTube. I'm not sure. But most definitely live on Rumble. And not on Sermon Audio because people are nasty and I keep all the nasty stuff off of Sermon Audio so it is family friendly for all the children's and they can pretty much watch it, okay? So, anyway, it's important that we do that. So that's why we have Sermon Audio rather G-rated for the most part as best we can to avoid... You know, because I have a lot of families that watch those sermons together and the broadcast together and things like that. So I try to do my best to keep it as clean as possible for them. You know, and we advertise the preaching on the street on Rumble and for the purpose of people seeing what it's like out there with evangelism, to keep that always before their face. And they remember what this world is like. Sometimes we can live in a bubble. We don't realize what's going on in the world. And it's good for people to understand that. So you pray for us about Saturday. Pray for our safety. You know, this world is getting darker. And it's getting worse out there. And we just need the Lord's protection and we need your prayers, okay? So you pray for us. God use this prayer. All right? Also, pray for our trip coming up to Canada. And pray for Pastor Jeffrey at his church. Pray for all the needs that we have on our way there. And then to Pennsylvania. Well, on our way there, we're pretty much set. Oh, I got to get a hotel somewhere. One night. Thursday night somewhere. I'm going to get a hotel somewhere. We're going through Michigan. And then we'll stop somewhere around Michigan. I think it is. I'm pretty sure. I don't remember. I think that's where it is. Anyway. We'll be stopping there and staying for a night there somewhere. So you pray for us when we do that. All right. And, all that good stuff. So keep our trip and that the Lord would give great success and guide me into the places that I need to go in Canada as well as in, Pennsylvania. Also in New England. Okay. So. Okay. So. Just pray for that trip. Okay. Pray for the Lord to let everything fall into place. I'm telling you, that documentary is going to be important. I'm going to call it the Baptist Bill of Rights. Okay. Versus hate speech, the hate speech laws, right? Something like that. Baptist Bill of Rights, why America is different, or the Baptist Bill of Rights, why America is different, all right, with evangelism or something. I'll figure out the title as I go. But anyway, we're going to get all that footage recorded for that, and we're going to have this. It's probably going to be a two-hour documentary is what I'm guessing. By the time I gather all the footage and get everything together, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what the difference is, why it's different. Okay? So keep that in mind as you look at that and all those good things. Okay? That's the goal of Canada that the Lord has kind of showed me. Okay? God has kind of showed me that as time has went on. He's opened that my understanding up to those things. So you pray about that. Pray about the Colosseum. Video. Andrew's finding some great footage. We're going to try to get that wrapped up by April. We want to show that to our church family, and then we want to feature it on sermon audio, and we want to put it on YouTube, Facebook, maybe boost it on Facebook, and all that good stuff, okay? So you pray for us about that, we'd be able to do that, okay? And as far as the trip goes, we'll have some expenses to go to Pennsylvania. We'll have some expenses to go to Rhode Island and Massachusetts. Pray for us about all those things, that the Lord would continue to provide for those areas and those things. I got to get booking some stuff up here pretty soon for that. I'm just trying to get some finalization in Pennsylvania. And, you know, the other stuff will be fine. Once I figure that out, then I'll know which way I'm going, okay? With everything. I just want to get it nailed down that we'll be doing that in Pennsylvania and all that stuff. I got to get that nailed down. So, and all that good stuff. All right. So you pray for the Lord to provide all those things, that God would bless us with that, that God would instruct, help us to, you know, the right things. I really want that. I want that documentary, the focus of that, to show them the difference and then to encourage pastors to get out there. You know, to get out there before it's too late. Get out there and preach the gospel. Get out there and do that, okay? So you pray for that. Pray that the Lord would provide in those areas, all right? So anyway, pray about that. And then also, it will be then next Thursday, a week from yesterday, next Thursday morning, we'll be leaving for about 4 days, 4 or 5 days with my family to take a break, let my brain thaw a little bit. I can tell that I need it. You know, sometimes I'm like, maybe I don't. I'm okay. I don't need, I'm all right. And then I'm like, I need it. I need it. My wife needs it also. You know, but I can tell. I need it. My brain's just I just need to thaw it a little bit and not look at the same stuff, not look at news, not look at studying hard and not look at broadcasts and not, and just kind of get a break and kind of let my soak up some nature, soak up some other things out there. You know, all that good stuff. It's needed. It's necessary. So we're going to do that. We're going to go to Kansas City for about 4 days and yep. You're right, Fabian. I do.
Damon. You're right, Damon. Damon. You're right.
So, anyway, you pray for us that the Lord would bless our trip, and we're going to take the kids and do some stuff with them, take them to some science museums and some different museums and different things and you know, outside and just kind of enjoy... They like to go to Union Station. There's a train museum. There's a lot of other things there. So, and we'll have some fun, you know, and enjoy ourselves and all that good stuff. So, anyway, I think it'll be good. So you pray for us that the Lord would bless that and refresh my mind, because I got to hit the ground running. When I come back, we're gonna be busy. All the way. I mean, really, it's, you know, it's March, but we got some events that are going to be coming up. Some big events. We got April, and then in May, we're leaving for 2 weeks on the road, which some of that will be a break for my family to enjoy, you know, us on the road and being able to see some different things and meet the brethren and greet some people. Remember, along the way, you know, I'm going to be up there. I'm going to be over there in Toronto, coming down to Pennsylvania, going over to New England, whatever. I'm going to be in that whole area, New York, all that area. If you're around and you want to meet up, you need to let me know. Okay? All right? Okay. Right, so you did Taekwondo, did you? Okay. Yeah, I did mixed martial arts. I got a black belt in Kuksil Wan. I took Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah, I did a bunch of those things. Anyway, so, Fabian, we are going to get in touch.
Damon. We will, Damon. Damon. Feed us, Damon.
So, anyway. That's what's going to happen. So, you pray for us that all these things will come to pass and that the Lord will bless our steps and all of that. And so next week's schedule. Right? Next week's schedule. Monday I'll do a broadcast. Wednesday I'll probably do a broadcast unless I get too busy trying to get ready to leave for 4 or 5 days. You know, trying to get 10 people ready to go is not the easiest thing in the world. My wife can tell you that. So anyway, plus we got a busy ministry. So we'll either do, we'll more than likely do a broadcast on Wednesday, but definitely Monday, and then Wednesday, and then we'll be gone and no more broadcasts until the following Wednesday. So, all right. So, just pray for us. But we'll be here on Monday, Lord willing. And this weekend, tomorrow, preaching. And then all that good stuff. All right. Hey, lots of people want to yell at me live, man. Lots of people want to yell at me. So, hey, how about that? How about that broadcast about the moon? Wasn't that great? Uh-huh. That was awesome, wasn't it? About the moon landing? Wasn't that fun? I enjoyed it. Yeah. It has almost 1,000 views right now. Which is good for Rumble, remember. It's almost at 1,000. Yeah, I don't think anybody anyway, I'm not going to get into that. I was looking at something. I'm not going to get into that. Wasn't that fun? Anyway. We got to go back to the moon again. We sure do. I'm going to do it again. All right, everybody. Now it's time to talk about some stuff here. I don't know where that just went. Okay. So we are going to talk about some end time sins. Really, let's see. There it is. Really, the two sins that stick out more than anything. Revelation chapter 9. Okay. Verse number 21. And verse number 20 says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. We see in the end times sorcery and fornication. Witchcraft, sorcery, right? Magic, enchantment, witchcraft, divination by the assistance of evil spirits or the power of commanding evil spirits. It's the same word that many talk about, that word pharmakia. Right? And that word is the same as sorcery. What do we have in the end times? We have absolute drug abuse in the end times. People are absolutely doped up, like, all the time. The prevailing factor of mass shooters? Psychotropics. Psychotropics are one of the number one things that mass shooters have in common. But you won't see that on Fox News. Because all of their sponsors are pharmaceutical companies. So they're not going to talk about that. They're not going to talk about how pharmaceuticals play a part in mass shootings, in murder. Right now, you have companies that want to microdose their people with psychedelics. They say, oh, we're going to make them, they're going to be better. Some moms practice microdosing mushrooms for anxiety and depression. Look.
Tracy T is an entrepreneur, a comedian, and above all else, a mom.
The woman is microdosing mushrooms. Tripping to help anxiety. So these states are allowing it, and the federal government is eventually going to allow it because drug trafficking is sorcery, and drug trafficking is an end time sin, and they will not repent. So now you're literally going to give mothers, you're talking them into microdosing. I've never even read this article or listened to it, but we're going to listen to it together. Here we go.
Mom. She spends most mornings getting her daughter ready for school, dropping her off, making meals, taking a microdose of psilocybin, doing household chores, working. Did you catch that? Let's rewind here. Yep. Every few days, Tracy takes a small microdose of magic mushrooms and goes about her day.
I'm not high. Nobody is high. That is not what microdosing is about.
Magic mushrooms and psilocybin rituals go back thousands of years. But now, a number...
Now listen to me. All right? Listen to me. Listen. I ate mushrooms when I was a lost man. I tripped and saw golden roosters, okay? I ate mushrooms. I know what shrooms do to you. I know all about shrooms. You ain't gonna kid a kidder here, man. You're not gonna fool me. It is, well, you know, it's not about getting high. Right. So they're micro-dosing people, small doses of acid, small doses of mushrooms. What's the matter with that? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with you anyway?
Number of states in the U.S. are starting to decriminalize psilocybin as the ubiquity of microdosing spreads across the country. But what exactly is microdosing? And how does it differ from this?
starting to feel weird.
I'm freaking out, man.
That's so wrong. I was not ready for the Beavis and Butthead. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was not ready for the Beavis and Butthead cartoon. Oh no. That's terrible. Okay, let's go past that. Sorry. This is what happens when I don't screen stuff.
To 1/20th of a recreational dose, or about 0.3 grams.
Generally speaking, for most people, keeps it subperceptual so that you're never feeling the hallucinogenic or any sort of effects, like full body effects of, like, quote-unquote being high.
Tracy started microdosing during the pandemic when she says her comedy business crumbled.
She started... This can't be real. She's like, I just started dosing, dude. Things weren't going great for me. I just started hitting the shrooms, man. I was like, hey, you know what? Life stinks. I think I'll do shrooms and trip. These are like adults. These are like, well, they're supposed to be. They're like 40-year-old people. This is like children that are neglected from their parents that do things like this. And that run around and do drugs. And now you have people microdosing on a regular basis. Why? Because it opens up your third eye, it opens it up, and what does it bring you to? Devils. It brings on the Antichrist kingdom. That's what it brings on. That's what this is about. In the end times, fornication, give them their bread and their circuses. Give them their pharmaceutical drugs and give them their fornication and you'll never break them out. You get it? Do you get it? That's what it's about. Satan knows that you enslave people with drugs and sex. And if you give them that, they want nothing else. And I believe that that's going to have something to do that the drugs are going to be digitally put in your brain through that chip. That's what's going to happen. Right? That is what's going to happen. They're going to have their drugs. They're going to have their fornication. And they're not going to want anything else. Because that's going to give them everything they want. And they go past the point of no return. Look what it says. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands. That they should not worship devils. And idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood. Which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders. What's that? Their abortion. Because after they fornicate. And they're on dope and drugs. And they're fornicating and they're tripping. They don't repent. This sorcery, this witchcraft, this opens them up to devils. Drugs being used opens people up to devils. especially when they're tripping. It opens them up to Satan, to the devil's kingdom. And they don't come back. Many of them. Many people die in that state. It says here that in the end times that God brings about these things. And judgment upon these things, and they don't repent of it. Drugs and fornication. And what are we filled with in America? Drugs and fornication. Right? And by the way, there's a religious spirit to it. Now, I'm going to say this to you very specifically. Any man, or woman, for that matter, saved or lost, can fall into fornication. If you don't guard your heart, if you don't put a watch upon your heart, if you don't hide the word of God in your heart, any man can fall for that. Any woman can fall for that. I don't care if you're a pastor, a Christian, any Christian man, you can fall to that. Any of them. You could fall. It is possible for God's people to fall into sexual sin. It is absolutely possible for them to do so. It is absolutely possible for them to fall into it. And I tell you that as a warning. It's a warning for all of us. If you don't walk with God, if you don't keep a close, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, if you don't walk with the Lord, then you are definitely capable of falling. If you don't take the steps necessary, scripturally, to keep yourself from falling into sexual sins, and that's by putting up proper boundaries. Also, if you don't have a strong and close relationship with your wife, I'm seeing pastors all over the place falling. I'm seeing them falling all over the place. And I think it's because part of it is because the husband and the wife don't have a relationship. A strong, biblical relationship. They don't passion after one another and love one another. They don't meet each other's needs and take care of one another. You want to know what's going on in a lot of these churches? I don't think all of these men are predators, per se. Some of them are, yes. But some of them fall for temptation. And number one, it's because of their own heart. And number two, it's because they don't have the right relationship with their wife. So it's always number one. It's always the man. Thou art the man. When God dealt with David's sin, he sent Nathan to him and he said, thou art the man. He didn't say, that woman deceived you. No, he said, number one, he said, thou art the man. So no matter how good my wife is to me and fulfills my desires and everything else, if I am not walking with God, if I am not walking in the fear of the Lord, if I am not following God the way that I should, I am capable of falling into any of those things. Thou art the man, he said to him. So number one, we'll take this point by point, and we'll see how far we get. I don't have any notes. But number one, it's your own heart. You have to walk with God. Your wife can be a faithful wife. She can fulfill the desires of your heart. She can do all of those things. But if you don't walk with God, if you don't walk with the Lord, you will fall. Fornication is 36 times in the Bible. 6 times 6. So first, we blame the man himself. Or woman, whoever it is. That has to be first. It's your own heart before God. And the rise of these seducing spirits are out there today. Sexual perversion is everywhere. Temptations are everywhere. Sinful opportunities are everywhere. God's people don't keep from fornicating situations or those adulterous situations because there is no opportunity. There will always be opportunity to sin against God. There will always be opportunity to sin. There'll always be that. You will never live in a world on this side of eternity that will be free from temptation, that will be free from opportunities to sin. Opportunities to sin abound. The key to that is understanding that there should be nothing that I allow in my heart to ignite that opportunity. Because if an outward opportunity is there, if it finds a spark in my heart, then I'm going to fall for it. I'm going to give into it. So it isn't the opportunity. They're always going to be there. There's always going to be a strange woman wherever you're at. There's always going to be a woman like that. There's always going to be a man like that. There's always going to be people like that. And there's always going to be a woman dressed like a whore with her breasts hanging out and her backside showing. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be on a news article. It's always going to be, the pornography is always going to be somewhere. You got to turn it off. You got to move the browser. I'm not talking about hardcore porn. I'm talking about indecently dressed. It's always going to be there. So number one, guard your heart. The Bible warns us about the heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put a guard on your heart. Put a watch on your heart. Watch, therefore, and be sober. Right? You watch and you're sober because there's always going to be an opportunity for sin. So keep thy heart with all diligence on purpose. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. How do I keep my heart? Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. God's word hidden in your heart that I might not sin against thee. And that you fear the Lord. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. See, they must fear God. Fear God and give Him glory. Joseph said, this do and live, for I fear God. You know why Joseph didn't give in to Potiphar's wife? Because he feared God. He hid God's word in his heart. He feared the Lord. You know what will keep you from sexual sin? Fearing God. That you fear God. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Ecclesiastes 12:13, after Solomon had sinned, after he had had so many wives and concubines and failed God, his repentance at the end of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole duty of man. So number one, first, it's your heart. You got to have your heart right with God. You have to have your heart surrendered to God. Here's what the Bible says. Look at this. Some of you are in the most dangerous place you could be in right now. Are you listening to me? I can't look at your little beady eyes out there, but you better be listening to me and listen good. The most dangerous place you could be as a Christian. The absolute most dangerous place that you can be as a child of God is not surrendered. It's the most dangerous place you can be. Not surrendered to God. If you're living as a Christian, if you're a Christian and you're living without surrendering and submitting to God, you're in a dangerous place. You're like the wind. You're being tossed to and fro in the wind. You're unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And her ways. That goes for you too, lady. If you're double-minded, you are going to fall. Seven times the word submit yourselves is there. Seven times. God's perfection, the completion. Seven times. We're warned to submit ourselves. We are warned to live a life of submission. We are warned of it. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's the warning for our own hearts, to stay submitted to God. You can't fight the devil and the temptations of this life if you are not submitted to God. If you are living without surrender and you are wondering why you are such an unstable Christian and such an unstable person, then don't wonder. The Bible warns of being submitted. And then you can fight the devil. You can't fight temptation and fight the devil when your heart's not given over to God. When you haven't surrendered your heart to God. When you're not walking in the fear of the Lord. When you've not let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When you haven't walked in the Spirit. When you're not actively, daily walking in the Spirit. Surrendered to God and to His will. Right? How can you be? What's the Bible say in Romans 12:1-2? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to be. So whatever, I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care if you're a wife, a husband, a single person, a widow. If you're not surrendered to God. If you're not living surrendered. If you're not a living sacrifice. You're going to fall into sexual sin, especially as a man. But women too. But especially as a man in a day and age where sexual perversion is rampant. I think you're going to see a day and age when they just walk around completely naked. I don't think we're that far from it. I mean, we're pretty much there now. If you ever preach outside of a rock concert or a country western concert, you can see it. If you preach outside of a country music concert, you could, I mean, they're pretty much naked almost. That's the way they are. Well, what's going to stop you from sinning? The fact that you don't ever see anybody like that? No, the fact that you're surrendered to God and God protects you and keeps you. That you pray without ceasing. That you realize that all prayer is part of your armor. Ephesians 6:18, and part of the armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. With all perseverance. And with all prayer as a weapon, all prayer as a weapon, it's not going to be that there's never going to be a whore around you. Or there's never going to be a seductive situation around you. There will always be beautiful women. There will always be half-dressed women. There will always be flirtatious women. There will always be those things. But if God has your heart, they won't. They won't. That's why it's the man. Thou art the man. It is your fault first. It is your heart that must be right first. You as a lady, it is your heart that must be right first. Must be. It is your fault first. And some of these pastors in ministry, and some of these people are just dogs anyway. They didn't fall into anything. They literally are just stinking. They're predators. Some of them are just perverts. Period. They didn't fall into anything. That's just who they are. That's who they are. But there's a pastor in Owatonna. And that man was caught. Well, I don't know. It wasn't the main pastor. It was another pastor. And he's been accused of... And then the church covers it up or whatever. And the church covered it up in Owatonna there. It's sinful and wicked. So first, it's the man's fault, whether it's ministry or not. Pastor, whatever it is, it's the man that does it. It's not the woman that dressed seductively. You got this stupid fundamental Baptist pastor. What a dummy. Let me find that dummy. Hold on. Dumber than a box of rocks, man. What a dingbat. Let me find that. Second. Add it. Oh, it's on the next this one. Okay. Yeah, IFB pastor. Right, it would. Thank you, Jacob. Is somebody working in the Christian school? In that Owatonna church, it was somebody working in the Christian school. He was propositioning girls. He had done it for a while. It's like putting a fox in the hen house, by the way. Listen, here's what I don't understand. Why in the world does anybody think it's a great idea? Why does anybody think it's a great idea for a man to, like, I don't know, to, like, be the coach of a female volleyball team? I'm not saying that's the situation. Why would it be a good idea for me to be around, like, 16, 17-year-old girls? Right? Why would I, as a pastor, a coach, let's say not a pastor, a coach of a Christian school, why would you be around girls, period? Do you think maybe there's some guys that might have even done that job and they didn't have the intention of seducing a girl, but they're around a bunch of 17, 18-year-old girls, which is inappropriate for them to be around? I'm not going to go hang out with 17 and 18-year-old girls. First of all, unless it's my own daughters. Right? But as far as, like, if my daughters wanted to go somewhere with, like, their friends at church, I'm not taking them. My wife could go out with them. That's what women do. I love my daughters. But I don't want to be around a bunch of little girls, okay? I mean, that aren't my daughters. I don't have any desire to be around 16, 17-year-old girls like that. First of all, it's not wise. It's stupid. You say, what's wrong with you? Are you some kind of a pervert? No, I'm a man. I'm smart. It's not good to be put in positions that are foolish. I'm a man. It's not appropriate. Unless it's my own daughters, right? That's just common sense. Biblical sense too, by the way. But the world doesn't follow it. Right. It isn't what most men would do anyway. Right. It's like, it's not normal. I'm not going to be like, hey, I'll drive you to, I don't know, the mall, which my girls don't go to the mall really anyway, but I'll drive you here. I ain't driving you nowhere, man. Your mom will take you somewhere. I am not going with you with a bunch of little teeny bopper girls running around. No, thank you. Nope, I don't think so. My own daughters, yeah, I'll take them wherever they need to go. They're mine. They're my girls. Right? But I ain't about, and I don't even do that really that much. Their mom takes them to do stuff. Well, I don't do that. I mean, if they needed me to, I do whatever I needed to do. But I don't do that. Like, we don't do that. I mean, that's girl stuff. Right? It's just common. People need to get back to, like, thinking, like, right, like, for that to be normal. And then you see, I saw that in the Christian school, which is, man, you want to talk about a brief, look, when I was a lost man, I was a stinking dog. You know, I was just a dog. I mean, I just was. I was lost. I ran around. I did drugs. I did dope. I wasn't a pastor. I was a womanizer and everything else you can imagine like that. Being a womanizer, basically, but, you know, drugs, alcohol, women, right? That's the way it was. I mean, that's... So after I got saved, it's like I learned what the Bible says about things. And I learned a lot of lessons about that. Because, like, you know what? No, I don't think so. You got to learn to be wise. And God taught me to put away that foolishness. Be like, you know what? You got to be wise. Right, that's another question. Andrea, how about a question of the ages? Why would you let your daughters be in a one-piece bathing suit, running around, doing flips and contorting their hips, their body, and you can see every single part of their body, and you hand them over to some creepy little dude that's going to teach them how to contort their body and how to dance on a stripper pole? Is that too much? Was I too graphic or was I just real? Because I think it was just real what I just said. They're literally on a stripper pole, basically. Contorting over a stripper, around a stripper pole. Am I off or am I just spot on? Do you all feel the same way that that's exactly what that is? Like, that is stinking weird. And then you got all these old fat guys watching the Olympics and watching these... Man, look at them girls do them things. Or also figure skating. They're like naked little girls running around skating and you're watching them. Put some clothes on! So the first thing, right, we talked about the heart. The second thing, is your relationship with your wife matters too. But before we get to that, this IFE preacher apologizes after viral, "I wouldn't punish rape" comments. Here's what he said. Talk about dum-dum alert. Dum-dum.
I told my wife that this is the kind of preaching we need. I told my wife, I said, "Mama, when you go, when we go to Pigeon Forge, to the outlet malls, when you go uptown here, we'll go up to sit at the parking lot at the outlet mall, I mean the mall here." I said, "You watch it." I said, "Tell them you'll find more women going to have shorts on than you were with pants and dresses put together." So I sat there. I just want to be sure. But I sat there some time ago for, I don't know who's out in there. I guess it must have been some of the family. My wife don't go shopping now. And I sat there in my car. I thought, I'm going to see if that's right. And I counted. Try that. You'll find more women going to those places with shorts than you will women with pants and dresses put together. Try it. If you got time, try it. Have your boy go up there and try it. Just watch for it. Have your girl go up there and watch for it. And you know, I used to say this. Now, I haven't said this in a long time. You ready? I said, if you dress like that and you get raped and I'm on the jury, he's going to go free. Now, you don't like, do you?
Well, that was dumb. Okay? That was just dumb. But here's the thing. I understand the point of saying that these women are dressed the way they are and that that's wicked. Right? And that it's if you dress like a whore, you might get raped. Generally speaking, most women that are dressed like whores don't get raped. But, unless it's with alcohol and partying, right? But I understand the man, what he's trying to say, but I don't condone what he said. Do you understand what I mean by that? I don't know if he's just confused or if he's just a weirdo. I don't know. But my point, or not confused, but here's the thing. It's never justifiable to sin. It's never justifiable to rape someone. It's never, no matter how they're dressed, it's never justifiable to force someone to sleep with you or to rape them. That's not justifiable. That's sin. It's also true that what he should have said was, there are sick people out there that if you walk around half naked like that, or naked like that, they're going to rape you. Don't dress like that. That's what he should have said. But what the world does with this is takes the idiotic and stupid thing that the dummy said to justify dressing like a whore. And saying that doesn't have anything to do with it. Well, it does. If you live a loose lifestyle, if you live wickedly, you're going to get taken advantage of. Young ladies, if you talk to men that you don't know online and you go meet them, they're going to rape you. That's how sick men are. That doesn't justify their rape. Okay, it doesn't justify them raping. God still hates it. It's still wicked sin. But don't be a fool either. Don't dress nasty and perverted. Right? Don't do that. Why? Because number one, men's hearts are wicked. And the man deserves to be beaten and whatever else the law says. Right? No man has an excuse to rape anyone. There is no excuse for it. We live in a sin-sick and fallen world. A lot of bad things happen that there's no excuse for. But this man's an idiot to even say that. Because the Bible truth is in the middle of that whole thing. Right? Well, what's that? The Bible truth in the middle of all that is that if your heart is right, you won't dress like a whore. Right? So number one, it's your heart. Number two, you're seeing all these churches get into these sexual sins. These men. Why? I don't believe they have a good relationship with their wife. I don't care how good they say they have it. I don't think they have a good relationship. Number one, remember, it's the relationship with God. That's always first. Number two, I don't believe they take heed to Paul's warning. Now, concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. That's to avoid fornication. That's not just for companionship and have somebody to hold their hand. It's to avoid fornication. Do you understand that? Wait, you mean one of the major purposes of marriage? Yeah, a guy didn't get married so his wife was like his teddy bear. Okay? Like, that's... Right? They didn't get married so they had a teddy bear. Man has a desire to touch a woman. Plain and simple. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Right? To let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. I think there is literally, like my English chaps say, literally. This is the most overlooked verses. Right? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. Right? That's the purpose. One of the major purposes of marriage. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. You want to know why you have all these... Yeah, first of all, celibacy is not true. They find a way to get their sexual deviancy out in another way. Or not even, it may not even start as sexual deviancy. They find a way to fulfill the fires of that passion in a sinful and grossly wicked way. Right? There is a natural affection, and then when those things are done in it, those things are not fulfilled right, then it turns into a sick deviancy and wicked and vile things against God and against nature and against children and against everything else. God never meant for men to be without a woman. It is not good for a man to touch a woman, right? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. God made woman for the man. And he's to render unto his wife due benevolence, and she's to render unto him due benevolence. The disposition to do good, goodwill, kindness, love, the benevolence of God, an act of kindness. Look what it says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Right? So the Bible says that the husband and the wife have power over each other's body. It says, defraud ye not one another. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. Your inability to contain your lustful desires. That Satan tempt you not. See, number two, a lot of these sexual sins and things wouldn't be happening if men had proper relationships with their wives. I'm not talking about pedophilia and things like that. I'm talking about these 17, 18-year-old girls, these 16, 17-year-old... I mean, which is sinful. It's wicked. It's rape and everything. I get it. I'm not condoning, I've already labeled that, what it is. But the point is, that when you see these end time sexual sins, like this teacher there at that leaders of the Christian Family Church and the Christian school, when you see these things, you see that they can't be having an intimate and, number one, intimate and personal relationship with Jesus Christ daily, walking in the fear of the Lord. And number two, they're not having an intimate relationship with their wife. They're not taking time with their wife. They're not lusting after their own wife. The wife is not lusting after her own husband. There should be a lust one for another. That should be there. There should be that desire one for another. And if it's not always there, it doesn't matter. You still need to be faithful to one another. By the way, we're also seeing that the rise of teachers, female teachers that are like 25 years old sleeping with 16-year-old boys or 14-year-old boys at school. And it's women that are doing it. Why? Because that fornication is that end time sin. It's a sexualized society. And it's not just Mary Kay Letourneau. It's going on all over the country. They just don't like to talk about it when women do it. They love to talk about it when a white male does it. They don't like to talk about it when a black male does it. They don't like to talk about it when other, but they like to talk about it when a white male does it. They love to talk about it when a white male does it. But I don't care who does it. It's wicked as hell. And all of us have the propensity to sin and fornication. Maybe not, you know, to the point of some of these others. But it's not going to matter to you if you destroy your marriage, whether, you know, it wasn't that far as others. It's still destroyed. Your testimony before God. The dangerous thing. Dangerous thing. So the Bible says to make sure your relationship is strong. You're seeing the rises in religious circles, and it's not just Catholics with little children. You're seeing it in Baptist Christian schools. You're seeing it in Baptist churches. You're seeing. Now, what's the third reason why? Remember, number one, you got to keep your own heart. Thou art the man. It's your fault. And you have to walk with God. Number two, that man needs a strong relationship with his wife. And the wife needs a strong. And by the way, you both need to take ownership over each other when it comes to those things. There needs to be this jealousy for each other. There should be a spirit of jealousy with each other. There ought to be a spirit of jealousy. There should be. My wife, when I'm at church or when I'm in, she ought to be watching. She ought to be watching and guarding my testimony. Amen. She ought to be jealous over me. Just like I am jealous over her. All jealousy is not sin. Right? There ought to be a jealousy one for another. The Bible talks about a spirit of jealousy coming on a man. There ought to be a jealousy there where she's watching and keeping an eye on that and looking at that. Even as a pastor, I have men in my church that keep an eye on that for me. They're watching out for me. Right? There ought to be a jealousy there. My conversations, if somebody emails me or whatever, or a woman, or whatever the case may be, my wife sees it. I leave my stuff open. I don't have nothing to hide. The older I get, the more wisdom is I got to stay away from certain situations. That's really the next thing. The third thing, when it comes to this fornication, these end time sins. You got to plan for success. And you got to plan and be wise. You don't put yourself in situations that are going to be compromised so that you can be accused. When I was a new Christian, sometimes I wasn't sober-minded like I should be. I didn't know what that was, really. And I'd put myself in a few situations that could have got me in trouble. Thank God they didn't. God was merciful to me. But he taught me about wisdom and jesting and wisdom and, you know, not being alone around women and things of that nature. This was long before, this is when I was first saved. You know, long before I was in the pastorate or anything like that. I was just dumb. Dumb and not sober. Thought I was kind of cool. Dummy is what I was. Right? Right? Genesis 39, Joseph. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in his house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph knew that sinning would be in fornication would be sinning against God. He said, how can I do this? How can I sin against God? And it came to pass that she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or be with her. He kept himself away from her. You know, it's funny. One preacher used to say there's two things that'll get a man in trouble in the ministry. Money and women. Yep. Money and women. Those two things will ruin a man's ministry. Money and women. I don't have to worry about having a lot of money. And I try to stay away from women. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men in the house therewith, within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. He left his garment in her hand, fled, and got him out. Joseph ran. He ran. Got out of there. It reminds me of this verse, right? And others save with fear. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Right, except my wife and daughters. That's right. But don't put yourself in positions that are going to destroy your life. No, you can't handle it. Look, Joseph was a man of integrity. And Joseph did not touch that woman. but she lied about him. And I don't think Joseph could have done anything about it. He didn't do anything sinful. But she lied about him. And listen, I'll caution you too. Sometimes women lie. Sometimes they lie. I've had women, because they've never caught me alone, they've never been around me alone by myself, because I don't go around women alone by myself. I stay away from them. And because of that, they've tried to lie in other ways about me, because they were mad at me. So they tried to lie about me. Didn't work. But that's what they do. But the good news is, by the grace of God, we've done our best to keep away from that. And I don't meet with women alone. I don't go off with them and meet alone by myself with them. I don't counsel women alone. I don't do that. Why? Because it's not wise. It's foolish. Right? Also, if you look at all these situations, some of these men are just perverts. They're into perverted theology, so they are perverts. Even this guy in this Owatonna church here, this Christ Family Church or whatever, it was somebody in the school. I didn't even know you wanted to be married, Jody Hammond. I didn't think you wanted to be married. But all these Hillsong, same thing. By the way, don't you think it'd be wise to get ministries back under the Bible and scripturally speaking, where there's a separation with men and women when it comes to, like, men aren't around a bunch of girls? They're not in those situations. That they're not around a bunch of women, that they're not in compromising. Older women aren't around young boys either by themselves, and all those things, that you don't have a Christian school set up to where you got female girls running around playing volleyball, and you got boys running around doing this, and you got that we get back to keepers at home and training girls to be girls and boys to be boys. Right? That we actually go back to a proper order of things? Right? That we get back to the Bible, and that's why a lot of this foolish nonsense would go away, and this sinful, wicked behavior would go away, when you don't set yourself up for failure. Here's Mike Bickle and the boys, or Chris Valentin from Bethel, defending Mike Bickle, the pervert. But you know what? Sometimes there are men that aren't perverted that fall because they don't follow a proper order of things. Don't you think if we got back to a proper order of things, like men don't have female secretaries and things like that in the churches, how they have female secretaries? Right, that they don't have those female secretaries. Where a pastor has or you have these young girls working in these different areas, but they'd be home waiting for marriage and waiting to and learning and growing and doing things under their under the authority of their parents and their family. Yes, there could be seducing there. There could be perverted fathers and mothers. I get that. But it's not as common. These churches end up the way they do. Right? All of these things that you see, these sexual sins are talked about, and it's going to get worse in the end times. It's going to get worse. That's why we have to guard our hearts first. We have to walk with God first. You have to have the right relationship first with God. Second, with your spouse. Thirdly, you put in a proper order. Where women are keepers at home. Whatever happened to having male secretaries and not counseling women by yourself and being wise? It's because they were foolish enough. Churches have been foolish enough to believe that they can have male and female operate the same way. They believe they can operate the same way as male and female together and no one's going to fall or nothing's going to happen. You know how much damage has come from women in the workforce? I don't pretend it's a popular message. Look, there's 46 people on here. I usually have 60 to 80 people on here, or 100 even. Usually around 80 to 100. It's not popular. People want to continue with their big box church. Scott said a lot of perverted things. So, he perverted the King James Bible and said he was going to correct 200 and some errors that were in the King James Bible. And then he was talking about polishing a shaft and all kinds of other creepy things. I always thought the guy was a charismatic pervert. When he wrote his book first, you want to know where Jack Scott failed? Jack Scott failed when he wrote his book on the Lord's Supper was intimacy with God. When he wrote that the Lord's Supper was intimacy with God, those charismatics prove they're not only seduced by spirits, but they're into fornication as well. It always goes that way. Always. He wrote a book called Divine Intimacy. And it's the same thing as porno mysticism. It's the same exact thing. It's the same exact thing as the Genesis 6, sons of God, daughters of men, creepy, weird, sexual stuff. But I'll tell you, and by the way, when I told my former pastor that, my former pastor threatened me and told me, you better be careful about calling Dr. Scott a heretic in public. Like, oh yeah? Okay. I did it anyway. A stinking perverted heretic. That's the same pastor that told me, well, you know, I can't in good conscience send somebody to your church because you're not a 501c3. So I can't send them to your church. I said, wait a minute. So you can in good conscience send somebody to Hiles Anderson when the pastor wrote a book that called Divine Intimacy that was basically intercourse with God. The Lord's Supper is intercourse with God. And you could send your own son there? But because I don't want Old Paths Baptist Church to be a creature of the state, you couldn't recommend us? Well, you know what I told him? He was going to come down to a sending off service when we were separating, and he was going to preach on the pulpit. And you know what I told him? I said, I can't in good conscience let you preach on my pulpit when you'd never recommend this church to anyone. So you're not coming here and preaching. And I've never heard from him again. Yep. By the way, this is the same pastor that told me he didn't believe in church discipline. Why? Because Hiles didn't believe in church discipline. He just moved perverts along to someplace else. The only time those men ever get mad at you is when you have a stronger scriptural stand than they do. Then they get violently angry at you. He tried to fire me from the ministry because I had a stronger scriptural stand than he did on something. And then he manipulated me. And I said, you know what? That'll never happen again. You did that once. But I promise, I looked at my wife and I told her, he will never do that to me again, ever. And he didn't either. That was the shot heard around the world. Bang! Exactly what it was. And then what happened? Later on, that's when Scott fell. Right after that. Wasn't very long. Wasn't very long at all. Right? Didn't take very long. Then that happened. Rejoice when any man falls. Period. Whether enemy or friend, I don't want anybody to fall into sin. I want people to live for God and walk with God and keep themselves unspotted from the world. You know, that's the goal. That's why I preach what I do. And I try to live what I preach. And that's why you need to pray for pastors. Because they have a constant attack on them. Satan is always after them to destroy them and to destroy their ministry. Satan wants to destroy pastors. He wants to bring them down. He wants to destroy them. So people don't believe that there's any good churches. He wants to do that. That's his goal. That's why you need to pray for me, that God would keep me. My heart would be tender towards God's word and tender towards his correction. Right? Let's see here. This one will remind you of Joseph.
When Joseph worked in Potiphar's house, he really had the life. He had command of everything except for Potiphar's wife. She pestered Joseph every day and tried to lead him wrong. But Joseph said, "Excuse me, ma'am, while I put my running shoes on."
Oh, put on your running shoes, mate. Put on your running shoes. Winston comes knocking at your door. That's just what your feet are for. Put on your running shoes. Put on your running shoes. Oh, put on your running shoes, mate. Put on your running shoes. Don't stop to take a closer look. Learn this lesson from God's book. Put on your running shoes. Put on your running shoes, mate.
Old Potiphar's wife just wouldn't give up. She tried to make him sin. She used her wicked, wily charm, but Joseph wouldn't give in. He didn't stick around to talk. He didn't make a fuss. He grabbed his pair of running shoes and he left her in the dust.
Oh, put on your running shoes, mate. Put on your running shoes. Winston comes knocking at your door. That's just what your feet are for. Put on your running shoes. Put on your running shoes. Oh, put on your running shoes, mate. Put on your running shoes. Don't stop to take a closer look. Learn this lesson from God's book. Put on your running shoes. Put on your running shoes, mate.
No time to lose. Put on your shoes.
There you go. And this one, I have to play this one. Then we'll get out of here.
Oh, yes. I remember a poor, deluded professor who used to sing me this song.
Billions and billions of years ago, a blob climbed out of the sea. He looked at the sky and yelled, "I'd like to fly!" And poof, he sprouted some wings. He climbed up a tree to the very tip top. He jumped off a limb and he hit with a plop. He broke both his legs, so he started to hop.
Ribbit, ribbit.
Billions and billions of years ago. We know it's absurd and and it doesn't make sense. But we can explain if you give us a chance. We know it's not science, but we're really sincere. And it sure seems to help to add billions of years. Billions and billions of years ago, a frog went out for a stroll. The froggy went purr, I could shear you some fur, and poof, hair started to grow. It grew on his hands and his little webbed feet. It grew on his head and it really looked neat. He thought, I'm a monkey, I'll swing from a tree. Billions and billions of years ago.
Sing it, class.
No, it's absurd and it doesn't make sense. But we can explain if you give us a chance. We know it's not science, but we're really sincere. We're really sincere. And it sure seems to help to add billions of years.
Now, class, listen carefully. Oh, this is the best part. Oh, you're going to love this now, listen. Billions and billions of years ago, a monkey sat on a rock.
He said with a wink,
I'm a genius, I think.
And oof, he started to talk.
Oh, yes, he did. The problems of math he could now understand.
He made a trombone and he started a band. He changed from a monkey right into a man. Billions and billions of years ago.
Doesn't make sense, but we can explain if you give us a chance.
We know it's not science, but we're really sincere. And it sure seems to help to add billions of years.
It sure seems to help to add billions of years.
Billions and billions of years ago.
Very good, class. Very good.
That's awesome. All right. Anyway, so we will, Lord willing, see you tomorrow. I didn't really get into the sorcery part of things. I just talked about the fornication part, but I wanted to cover that because there's a lot of that going on in churches today. There's a reason behind it. And, people need to walk with God. And some of them, again, are just, they're not really Christians anyway, and they're plants. But for those that are, they need to be careful and guard yourself, because any man, the Bible says to take heed lest you fall, right? That it warns us about it. That's why we don't rejoice in the people falling. First Corinthians chapter 10. Now all these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We have to take heed. Amen. Take heed. All right, everybody. God bless you, and we'll see you soon, Lord willing, tomorrow out there preaching. And you pray for the Lord to keep us and protect us and walk with God, people. Walk with God. Have a walk with God. Have a time in your Bible. Have a time of prayer when you're alone with God. If you're married, have a relationship with your husband and wife. Have a strong relationship. Stay walking in the fear of the Lord. Keep a lot of foolishness and nonsense out and distractions out. Be focused on your work and what God has called you to do. Be wise. One of the greatest things that we ought to fear is falling into sin. And we ought to fear disappointing others. I think about all the children that are watching us, that I don't want to fail them. I was a fornicating, wicked man when I was a lost man, but I sure don't want to be. As a saved man, I want to follow God, be faithful, and I have a revenge against it. The longer I've been saved, the more God has taught me to hate it, and more. Got to hate it. Got to hate sin. By the way, if you haven't started listening to that series, The God That Hates, you should listen to that one. Last week I preached, and it's not online yet, Does God Hate Your Face? And the one after that was, that was a proud look. Yep. This week will be A Lying Tongue. We're going to talk about a lying tongue this week. Anyway, all right, everybody, if you'd like to give to our ministry, you can PayPal us salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Or you can go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. You can mail something in, 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. Or you can do Apple Pay, Venmo, Cash App, whatever, any of those. All right? You can't do anything, you can pray. Ben? All right, everybody. God bless you. Take care. We'll see you, Lord willing, tomorrow out there. Good night.